Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning. May God bless you.
As we go into our new year, I spent some time just considering the change of the calendar, and it's an exciting time for me. I look at Matthew chapter 28. Every time I consider the church, our church and our part of the church across all the world, I always think of our commission that we find in Matthew chapter 28. And I just kind of like to, as we begin this year, I want to talk to you about a few things, but I want to sow this into your heart and spirit. Jesus is gathered together, and he says, "Now to the 11 disciples went to Galilee, and into the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them," this is the Great Commission here, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So I want us to keep that in our minds today as we consider this new year, as we consider 2022. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about things that we need to be doing. These are 2022. There's some things that we need to do. Now, I hope you had a good Christmas break, and I hope you're ready to kind of get back at it. Are you ready? Some are ready. Probably some kids are not, and some students, but I know that this is kind of complicated times as well. And this is always the time of goal planning and setting these goals. And I always want us to have goals for the church. Each year, I challenge those in ministry departments to set goals for their specific areas of ministry. Now, these are not just numeric goals, okay? It's more than numeric goals, but it's growth goals, because I think that we all need to get deeper in our walk with Christ. You've heard that we have facility goals, we've had an awful lot of those that we accomplished last year. We did a tremendous year doing things that needed to be done for some time. As you know, we've been talking about replacing this educational building and getting that going. That's a big goal for this year. We have some continued upkeep, one more major piece of upkeep on the Crossroads Center. We have goals in our eldership about how can we do a better job connecting with our members here at church. And that's been so challenged with the pandemic and with the things in and out. And, you know, it's just been very, very difficult. Congregationally, you know, it's hard for us, you know, here we are, you know, 2 years later from 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and at some time we're going to have to learn how to live with COVID-19. We're going to have to learn how to continue and survive and move forward. I mean, culturally, believers, we have to understand and be keenly aware that there is a cultural current in where we live. And it's gotten very swift. In some ways, it's almost like our culture is shooting the rapids at how quickly things change. Now, I was very dismayed. New Year's Eve, we sat up and we watched, and we kind of went through and we had this one thing we were watching, and then I just kind of channel surfed right after the New Year's came in, right after the stroke of midnight, and I hit this other station, and I was like, in 30 seconds, I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of stuff that's being shown that, you know, I had a moment. I had a moment of frustration as I watched and said, we are in the time where there is so much stuff that's being pushed. And believers need to know that we live in a cultural current that's trying that's trying to tell us how we need to think, that's trying to tell us how we need to believe. And in many of those ways, they are far, far, far away from the moorings of our Christian faith. Okay? From your entertainment, your choice of news, your media, your social media, you are naive to think that you're not being manipulated. And I want people to understand that's a goal that we know that we are being formed. You got to choose who you're letting into your mind. That's good advice for everybody. You got to choose, and I hope that we're choosing God's advice and God's counsel to be inside and to be helping to form us. Okay? It's become worrisome to many, as we've heard a lot in different types of education. But what is a Christ follower's response? What should we be about? Now, it's important. The culture of the church is not politics. It's really important. We have to understand that. Because Jesus, when Jesus came in, he came into the temple, he was frustrated at what he saw. In fact, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, he said, look, it's written that my house ought to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Okay? And then the disciples, a little bit later, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus comes in and says, look, this is the commandment that I've given you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. You see, it's like Jesus comes in and he's saying, look, I'm seeing some things in where my people are gathering that ought not to be. And there's some things that you really need to be about. And I want us to understand that. The Apostle Paul, as he observed the churches that God used him to plant, he wrote letters and he addressed things like divisions and carnality and immaturity and sensuality and bad doctrine and sexual perversion. And if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to take inventory, gang, we're gonna be moved away from where Christ would have us to stand. Okay? Now again, I'm not saying that right now, where we specifically are, there's some major thing, but I'm saying we are living in a time and a culture where there's so much shifting away. We have to make sure that our foundation goes deep and stays in Christ. Now, in light of this, there's some things that I think we need to be reminded about, that we should be about in 2022. So this is beginning of the year. It's a season for goals, and I love goals. I think goals are very important. I encourage us all, as I've done almost every year, to have some physical goals, to have some emotional goals, to have some relational goals, but also to have some spiritual goals. Set yourself up with a Bible reading program. It is important. Be in the Word every day. Okay, so we've got a couple areas that I want to challenge us in the next 3 weeks. A couple areas that I think that we need to be looking at and examining. Some things that we need to do in 2022. And the first one, as we've seen here in the Great Commission, is we need to be sharing the message of Christ. In fact, more than any other message, we should be sharing the love of Jesus. So my first point for us here today is we ought to be sharing the message of Christ because he told us to do so. Okay, Jesus told us that we are supposed to be making disciples, that we're supposed to be baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so because Jesus told us to do that, it is important. In the Great Commission, the disciples, they were following directions. They were obeying Christ's word, but they needed to be reminded and directed towards evangelism. And I think we do as well. And so one of the things that I think we have to understand is we can be so focused on the things around us that distract us, on the where that he has sent us, that we miss the why. Okay? Don't be so focused on the where you are in your life that you forget the why. Now, I gotta tell you, I'm coming to that place. As a parent, boy, we've so much energy and time and focus on kids and on raising kids. But even in that, I'm still called to share Christ's love. Whatever stage you are in your life, okay, you are there for a reason. And part of that reason, it's not that God puts the Great Commission in your life on hold until you get a vacation, or until you retire, or until you, you know, get a time off, or your schedule slows down. No, 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 no. So I want you to understand this. The Great Commission is for me. Everybody say that. The Great Commission is for me. Now, you at home, I don't think you said it. So I'm going to give you one more chance to say that at home. I open the windows, Bob, so I can hear if people are saying this at home. Ready? The Great Commission is for me. I have a part. You have a part. Okay? You've heard me say before, it's not my job to do your job. It's my job to encourage you to do your job. I gotta do my job, but you gotta do your job too. And part of your job is that you need to be telling people about the love of Jesus. Okay? We can get so focused on so many other things. And to be honest, I believe it has to do with our willingness to be sensitive to God and to be willing to be sensitive to the needs of people around us. But most Christians that I know are sensitive to God for their own needs, not for the needs of others. Now that is a big point. I'm going to say that again. Most Christians I know are sensitive to God about their needs, but they're kind of obtuse to God and the moving of God's Spirit about the needs of others. Wouldn't it be great if in 2022 it wasn't all about you? Imagine how different that, there's our phrase. Imagine how different the world would look if Christians quit being selfish. Imagine how different our church would look. Imagine how different believers would operate if they quit being so self-focused. The Apostle Peter reminds us of our calling. He says, you are a chosen race, 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may get your stuff. No, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's not all about us. Culturally, no one listens anymore. You know, why does God have me where I am? Maybe, just maybe, you are where you are for someone else. But the problem is, as we buy in, as I mentioned earlier, this big cultural shift to me, we've become so infected by pride and selfishness. Okay? We get oblivious to the people around us. When talking about our topic today, about evangelism. I know evangelism is kind of a big word, and it's an intimidating word. When talking about sharing Christ, you know, telling somebody about what Jesus has done for you, so many people say that, well, that's just not my calling, to which I say, if you're a Christian, it's part of your calling. I go back to our first thought there. The Great Commission is for me. Okay? Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are to be sharing Christ. It should not be unusual to share Christ. Is it the norm? It shouldn't be out of the ordinary. Now, and again, I didn't say that everyone's called to preach. I didn't say that. I said to share Christ's love. And it can be done in many ways, but it needs to be done in all of our lives. We are to share Christ because He told us. And we have to wrestle this point, brothers and sisters. Was Jesus just speaking to those specific individuals who were gathered together with Him? Okay? Was that, or was this written? And was it documented? Was it passed down for us? Verse 20 holds the key. In verse 20 it says, and lo, I am with you always to the very ends of the age. Okay, gang? It is for us. He is commissioning all people who believe in Him to do that work. He wasn't just speaking to that, to those individuals there. Okay, gang? I mean, he called individuals who were, some people say, well, I haven't been to seminary, or I haven't done this, or what if I do the wrong thing? No, we share Christ right where we are. Consider those whom God called in the Old Testament, like Jonah, like Moses. Consider the New Testament, simple fishermen. Goodness gracious, you had people from diverse backgrounds. You had zealots, and then you had tax collectors. Yet people walk all across the spectrum, and yet God calls them and equips them. He wasn't just speaking to those disciples. His words were recorded, and they are for us. I got to tell you, I've had those same wrestles. I remember when the opportunity came to go to Cuba, and as I've shared with you, I did not want to go. And then once I was there, I was so glad that I did. So forget the overseas part. Remember in the Greek, we're called to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Our Jerusalem is our inner circle. We're called to start where you are. Start at home. Start with your friend group. Start where you are. Second point for today. Because I hope we all will... I'm sorry, I got two more thoughts there. We have some part in the Great Commission. All of us have a part in it. And would you just be open to this thought? That my part is bigger than I think. Would you just be open to that this morning? Your part in the Great Commission might just be bigger than you think. So if we have a part in the Great Commission, which I've just said all of us do, then the second point holds true. If I ought to be sharing, I ought to be preparing. Can I get an amen? Things we ought to do. Things that we should be about. There are some things we should do in 2022. We ought to be sharing and we ought to be preparing. And now, as I said about this selfish thing of why we sometimes don't share, that whole thought of selfishness, it's not just about me. I got to tell you, what I have recognized is many of us in our preparing or in our study realm, we study with a selfish motive. Why do we study? We study because we want our life to go better. Okay, well, that's great and that's good. But have you ever thought that maybe part of your studying isn't about you? We go, I talk to individuals and they'll read a Bible verse and they're like, well, this didn't do anything for me today. Maybe it wasn't about you. Oh. Maybe it wasn't about you. Maybe God is preparing you for something else, for someone else. Maybe your devotion wasn't about your needs. Maybe he was giving you a message to look for someone else. Hello? We shouldn't study selfishly. Do I do my devotions only so I don't feel stressed, so that my life gets better? And again, those are good motives. I'm not saying those are evil or wrong motives. But I'm saying when we only do it selfishly, we really got to look a little deeper here and to get delivered from selfishness. It's good to study so that we can know God more, that we can know His ways and His statutes. It's good that we can learn to understand His voice more. Those are all wonderful things. It's good to do devotions each day to get good disciplines, to strengthen your relationship with God. But it's also a wonderful, honorable motive that you study and that you prepare so that you can be used. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, important and wonderful memory verse for everybody. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So how can we do this, gang? What are some things? Well, again, we've talked, one of the things that we do with the youth here in the church, and that we've done it with the adults as well, is Dare to Share has a really simple way that we can share the gospel. In fact, just think, gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. And it's broken down very easily. G, God created us for a relationship with Him. If we look in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see that God created mankind and He had fellowship with them. They were naked and not ashamed. In other words, they didn't have sin. They had relationship. They walked with God. They talked with God in the coolness of the day. They weren't constantly trying to be, you know, ridden with guilt because he had this wonderful relationship. That's why God created mankind is for relationship. Oh, here's the problem. Our sins separate us from God. And Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Okay, so sin, our sin separates us from God. The S in the G-O-S-P-E-L is this Dare to Share, wonderful model from Dare to Share uses. Sins cannot be covered by good deeds, okay? Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works. Okay? Hebrews 9:22 lets us know that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And here's the good news. B, paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. Again, my favorite verse, as Zachary said the other day, was God demonstrates, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Then E, here's the great, our response to Jesus paying our debt is E, everyone who puts their trust in Jesus is going to have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And finally, the great reward, L, life with Jesus starts right now here on earth. John 10:10 says that I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Life with Jesus starts now and it lasts forever. In other words, we don't need to fear death. Jesus has conquered the grave and that now we can be heirs to eternal life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great news? Don't you want to share it?
Ooh.
What if I told you it's not so hard? You don't need to preach a message to them. You need to befriend them. I got to tell you this. And those of you who know my story, it wasn't a preacher that was most influential in my life as I got started. It was somebody who showed me that they cared. It was a person who knew the Lord. And that was a radical thing. Someone who cared enough to say, you know what? You're kind of struggling. Can I tell you about my... They didn't preach at me. They said, look, my life has been radically different because of this God who loves me. Would you like to know Him? Because I know Him and I'd like to talk to you about what it means. That's a powerful, powerful thing, gang. There are people who I begin to have relationship with and I talk with. And the minute that they find out that I'm a pastor, it's like the door's shut. They won't talk to me the same way. They're just done talking to me because, you know, I'm one of those guys. And yet, I got to tell you, every person around you is a potential. And if you love somebody, you're going to share. You want to share eternity with them. Build a relationship. I'm not telling you to go thump them on the head with the Bible. I'm telling you show the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will prompt you and give you away. Third point for us to remember today is this. It's not my job to save somebody. It's my job to share. You don't save anybody. That's a little thing that drives me crazy. You know, you hear Christians or you hear preachers, oh yeah, you know, I saved 30. You didn't save anybody. Jesus saves multitudes and He's still saving people today. We're honored to walk. It's not my job. I don't save anyone. And the responsibility, this was a hard one for me, because there've been people who I've shared Christ with and they're like, I want nothing to do with it. And I feel like I failed. It's my job to share. It's God's job to save, and it's their job to respond. If you're listening here today and you're playing cat and mouse with God, you just kind of tuned in, you're just kind of wondering about this thing. Look, no person can save you except Jesus. Jesus is the only one can save you, and it's not their job. I hear people who get, someone in the church messed up, or some Christian did something wrong, and therefore they're going to take it out on God. Look, it's not, they couldn't save you. It's not their job to save you. I promise any person who joins our church, I promise them one thing. I promise I'll let you down. But Jesus never will. It's your job to decide. It is your job, Christians, it's our job to share. It's a person's job to decide, and it's God's job to save. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on Him whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Gang, we can do this in many ways. We can support missions, which I encourage you to do. We can give to global missions, which is awesome. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Rome seeking support for his mission. It's a great thing. There are some missionaries that I believe that are within our church, people who God wants to call and send out, and we should be supportive of them. We can invite folks to come to church. That's an awesome way to do it. But we all can share Christ through our lives. Your life is a sermon. What are the points? Your life is a sermon. Someone's watching it. Someone's looking at it. What's it saying? We all need to be able to lead someone with Christ. Again, because many people have issues with clergy. And as I said, I wasn't, when I came to Christ, I was led to Christ not by a pastor, but by a friend. There was friends who talked with me, who prayed with me. You might be that person. You're listening today. You might be that person. Please don't miss out. Set some spiritual goals. And if you think, well, I'm not perfect, or I don't have the whole Bible memorized. You know what? God uses the imperfect people if they're willing. And that's a powerful thing. The Bible tells us all to share. We can share in unique ways. God told us to do so. So if we ought to be sharing, we ought to be preparing. And if we're preparing, we understand this. It's not our job to save. It is our job to share. As we go into 2022, Kelly, you can go ahead and come up, and worship team, you can go ahead and come back up. As we go into 2022, I hope that we will open ourselves up, that we'll take a good, honest look inside, that we'll take a good, honest look at where we stand and ask ourselves a question. What are the things that God would have me do this year? Because I believe one of them is to be sharing. You're called to share, and if you're called to share, you're called to prepare. Let yourself off the hook. It's not your job to save. It is your job to share. Amen? Let's stand to our feet, and if you would join us at home in prayer, that would just be wonderful. Father in heaven, we just thank you and we praise you that you're a gracious God. That you're a God that uses folks who are imperfect. You're a God who uses people who are still in the process of growing. Lord, I pray that we would allow your Spirit to just search us, to know us, to open up our eyes to areas of selfishness if they're there, which, Lord, we all have to some degree. I pray, God, that we would understand your great love for us, and also the commission to which you've called us. You've called us to take the message, the greatest message of all time, the message of hope, the message of love and peace, the message that unlocks the doors of the prisons of our heart, the message that frees the captives and offers eternal life in a relationship with a perfect God. Lord, let that do something for us. Cause us to be formed more by your calling than the culture around us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. I pray, God, for courage, and I pray for commitment as we consider this new year that's set before us. I pray, God, that we would step up. And I know, Lord, that there's many who are struggling emotionally with the pandemic and with all the craziness that's around us and all the discord and the toxicity in our culture. Lord, let us shake off all of those things and understand that You have called us. You have called us to be born right in this time, in this age. This didn't just randomly happen. We're here for a purpose and a plan. And that purpose and plan is greater than just getting things and just worried about our own comfort. Lord, we are here to share Your love. And God, You love us and we thank You for that. And Lord, let Your love for the unlovable, let Your love for the lost, let Your love for the broken, let Your love for the hurting motivate us to get out of our shell and to move forward. Thanks for the second chance, God. We want to be pleasing to You and to be used by You. I pray You'd motivate Your people in the name of Jesus and all God's children.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.